بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My name is Musa McGuire. I'm a convert to Islam. I've been Muslim for about 8 years. And I just wanted to convey this message to all those new Muslims out there who are struggling with all the issues that you're facing now that you've become Muslim. First of all, it's important to emphasize that Islam is a new beginning for you. And if you've already accepted Islam, I know you've heard people tell you this, that the past is completely wiped clean, that you have a fresh start on your life, and that you're really approaching your life now like a newborn child in terms of what you're bringing to it. The other side of that is, now that you're Muslim, you have to start working on yourself. You have to start to change. It's not enough that you've just said the words. Now you have to put it into practice. And this is one of the biggest challenges that most new converts face. So the first thing I want to mention is just some of the basic ideas of how you can approach that to make it easier on you. First of all, it's very important that you identify those things which are crucial to the religion of Islam, both in terms of what's prohibited and in terms of what is required. These are the major changes that you have to make as a new Muslim, and the habits that you have to establish for the rest of your life. All the other matters that you're going to deal with are things that you can develop through time and that you can learn about gradually. So let's start with the prohibitions. Obviously, growing up in the West, growing up in American society, we have a lot of habits, we're exposed to a lot of things that are not part of the religion of Islam, that are not acceptable in the religion of Islam. Among the most notable are foods that are not permitted, such as pork, such as drinks, alcohol, the use of drugs. These are things that many people engage in, some more than others, but as a Muslim, you have to abstain. You have to dedicate yourself from the start to abstain from these things. All right. The next step is looking at the things that are required in Islam. Now, one of the things about accepting Islam, especially in this day and age, is that you're flooded with information. It's not just maybe the way it was in the past, where you'd learn a little bit about the religion, you get the Quran, you get some manageable a bit of information. Now when you become Muslim, you're literally exposed to a whole flood of resources from Islamic history, from Islamic scholarship throughout time, various perspectives, various schools of thought, and you're really not in any position to make any clear sense out of it. So the practical advice that I have is that you have to take these things slow, and you have to focus on what are the most important things. First of all, the basic creed of the Muslim that you say when you enter Islam, that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his last prophet and messenger, is the core of our religion. And then there's many other resources you can learn to see what are really the implications of this creed, and to understand what the creed is and what a proper Muslim is supposed to believe. So some of the extra readings you're going to want to do right away are really to focus on these and understanding the creed of Islam. Beyond that, there are certain acts of worship which are mandatory for Muslims. There's the prayer, the salah, the zakat, giving in charity, the siyam or sawm, the fasting in Ramadan, and if you're able to go on hajj. So you really want to take yourself and prioritize those aspects of the religion. Don't worry about other things. There may be other things that you'll learn later are required or things that are recommended, and you may want to embrace those. Some people will go at a different pace than others, but the crucial aspects are those things. Now, I know when I became Muslim, the idea of praying 5 times a day was really intimidating. First of all, I was never a morning person. So the idea of getting up early I thought was going to be impossible. I'm never going to get up and pray that early morning prayer. Also, I wondered, what's it going to be like to go through life and have to pay attention to things like when the sun sets and what time of day is it? And, you know, how much time do I have between when the sun sets and when it's fully night, and really measuring your life according to the prayer times? And this can be intimidating. It can feel like quite a burden when you first become Muslim. But in fact, these are things that are very easy to adjust to. Likewise, Ramadan, the idea of fasting every day from the break of dawn until sunset. It's difficult to imagine oneself doing that. But what advice I can give you for these basic acts of worship, and as difficult as it may sound, I can almost virtually guarantee that this will work. What you need to do is to make the sincere effort, all right? You can say, this seems really hard on me. You can say, I don't know if I can do this. You can say, I feel burdened by all these requirements. But you have to make the sincere effort. And I'll tell you my story just as an example. When I first became Muslim, I always envy people who have the stories about, becoming Muslim and diving right into it and being kind of really sort of perfect or as close to perfect as they can from the start. Me, I was a little bit more stubborn than that. I accepted Islam and I wasn't really, sure about how to do it. And I was a little bit nervous and I didn't really feel like I fit in. It took me a long time before I actually started to establish the prayer. And what I did is I got to a point where I'd come to the realization that I couldn't go on living in the same way. I had to change. I had to really commit myself. I believed in the religion. I had to start practicing the religion. And I said to myself one day, okay, I'm going to pray all five prayers today just to see what it's like, just to see if I can do it. And the difference between that moment and all the other moments before when I had thought about doing it is that in that moment I was making sincere effort. And from that day forward, I prayed all the five prayers. So what you have to realize is that when you make the sincere effort, Allah will make the path easy for you. And this is a very important lesson for you to learn as a new Muslim, because you have to realize, you have to internalize this idea that Allah is sovereign over you, that Allah has given you this blessing, Allah has opened this door for you, and it's not because of your own capacities or abilities that you'll be able to succeed as a Muslim. It's because of the blessings that Allah bestows on you. So that's really the first issue to talk about. When you face these prohibitions, you face these requirements, you see it's kind of overwhelming. Number one, you have to say, what is really important? What are really the crucial things? What are the absolutes that I have to abstain from? What are the absolutes that I have to do? And then make the sincere effort, and Allah will make the path easy for you. Now, inevitably, as you become a new Muslim, you're going to start to encounter a lot of different views, a lot of different opinions. You'll see that there are different schools of thought within Islam, different sects within Islam. And like I said before, because of the flood of information, you're exposed to almost all of this at once. So how do you make sense out of it? Well, first of all, as a Muslim living in the West, you really are not equipped to answer all the problems yourself, and as Muslims have always had to do, you have to refer to qualified scholars of the Islamic religion to understand how to apply the religion in this world, how to understand what the limits are for you. And it's going to be difficult because you're going to hear different opinions, you're going to hear some ideas that may seem very difficult or things that you're supposed to adopt that may seem very difficult, and then you'll hear other people saying, well, maybe you don't necessarily have to do that. So you're going to be confused about what exactly do I need to follow. So there are a few bits of advice I have about this. And ultimately, this is something that you really need to take on yourself. You need to take on the responsibility of seeking the knowledge, learning the knowledge. But let me give you some guidelines. First of all, when you're seeking knowledge about how to live Islam in this society, there's two things you should look for among the people of knowledge or the scholars of Islam. First of all, they should be well grounded in the core religious sources, the core knowledge of Islam, which is the Quran, knowledge of the Quran, and knowledge of the Sunnah or the life example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These have always been the core elements of Islamic law. Someone who is not well grounded in these, and by well grounded I mean has memorized the Quran, has studied the Hadith in depth, has studied Islamic law in some depth. These kind of people are not, if they don't have these qualifications, they're not going to be really equipped to give you the best advice in terms of how to guide yourself in this society. Second of all, when you, especially living in the internet age, you're going to see a lot of different sources of knowledge that are coming from all over the place. You'll see, and everyone's claiming to have the ultimate authority. So you'll go to websites and you'll see people telling you one thing. You'll go maybe to certain mosques and you'll see people telling you another thing. It's very hard to kind of digest all this and figure out who really has authority, who really doesn't. Is somebody who's been an imam of a masjid in a large city the same as somebody who's, some young kid who runs a website? Do they have the same level of authority, the same level of standing? So what you want to do is to look at some other factors as well. Someone who has a record of strong community leadership and respect amongst the community is a sign that the person has a certain responsibility in leadership. All right. Someone who is kind of obscure, a figure who maybe you don't know personally or you see online, who goes by a nickname or who, sources that are not well authored, they're not well established. You don't want to rely on those as much as you rely on those people who are well established within living Islamic communities. And just to give you a little bit more practical advice, there is an organization called the Muslim Jurists of North America, which I believe fulfills the requirements I mentioned before of both being well-grounded in the sources of Islam, but also being aware of the context of this society. that they can give you accurate and wise advice on how to live your life as an American Muslim or a Western Muslim. And that's the Muslim Jurists of North America. The website is amjonline.com. And you can look at various issues there and look up different fatwa, which of course means just Islamic legal opinions about a whole variety of issues. And that can help you to get a clearer sense of what the limits are. Another thing that you'll find among responsible scholars is that they're willing to discuss the various differences of opinion, that they're not constantly interested in pushing only their view, but they recognize that there are various viewpoints, and then they will give you the various strengths of evidence for those various viewpoints. And in that sense, you can get a greater sense of trust from those scholars because you understand that they're fulfilling their responsibility. They're not just trying to lead you to a certain position, but they're really trying to give you the full picture and really empower you with the knowledge that they have. The final thing that I want to talk about, and this is really important, the social relationships are an important part of being a Muslim. And I know when I became a Muslim, I was afraid that I was always going to stand out, that I was going to be foreign, that everything about, you know, my culture as an American was going to be different than those people I met in the mosque. And, you know, as much as this may seem like a secondary matter, we're human beings, we're social creatures. We need to have that kind of community environment, that kind of community support to be successful as Muslims. It's very hard to do it when you're isolated. So, you know, and remember, of course, that, you know, shaitan is always there, busy trying to give you any reason not to want to become Muslim, not to want to become part of the community. Shaitan is going to be whispering to you, these people aren't going to accept you, you know, you need to be nervous about it, you need to isolate yourself. This is not the right approach. What you'll find, actually, is that for most Muslims who grew up in America, okay, whether they be converts, whether they are coming from another ethnic background, most people who grew up in America, which is probably the majority of the people you'll meet in the community, especially if you're a younger person and you're dealing with a younger age group, those people are culturally American. And Islamically, there's nothing wrong about being culturally American as long as you're not transgressing the limits of the religion. So I remain as American today as I always was. I just don't, you know, eat sausages anymore. I don't drink beer. I don't do any of those things. But in terms of culturally who I am, my sense of humor, the things that I'm interested in that are permissible, it's the same as I was before. So you don't need to feel that sense of intimidation. And establishing those social relationships and having that good companionship is one of the most important ways that you can really develop as a Muslim, feel secure as a Muslim, to really feel part of the community. And especially when it comes to things where, you know, you're giving up certain things as becoming a Muslim, you're giving up certain maybe holidays or certain kind of cultural experiences that do exist in the society. And having that community around you of Muslims gives you the, you know, what you'll find to be better than whatever you've left. You know, but it's really a task that you have to take upon yourself to integrate yourself within the community, to find people that you're going to get along with, and to really, you know, embrace them and to find good friendship. And remember, of course, that this is the responsibility, anyone else who's watching this, if you are dealing with new Muslims in your community, it's your responsibility to make them feel welcome. Don't burden them with things that you would not burden yourself with. Don't make things more difficult to them than they need to be. Make sure you understand what is actually required in Islam, that you're not telling them they need to do things which are going to be difficult, which in fact are not necessarily required. And you know, these are the steps that people need to take, and inshallah will help you with the transition to the new life. Before concluding, I just want to say that, you know, now that you've embarked on this path, there will be challenges, there will be tests. It's not meant to be easy. And the greatest thing you can do is equip yourself with the knowledge to navigate that path and to continue to learn about Islam so you're not left confused and kind of wayward and blowing in the wind. So Jazakallah khair, thank you for these words. Thank you for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.